This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Green light is on top. Okay, Baruch Mabam, welcome everyone. The last year before the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Habalinu L'Toiva, we explained a very interesting and important concept that the 49 days of Sfira are 49 days where we potentially overcome the Tumah of Mayav. That there are 49 powers of Tumah in the world. Mayav is numerical value of 49. And during the 49 days of Sfira, we try to overcome these 49 koichos of Tumah. And that's why it's so important to read Parshas B'chukosai before the Yom Tov of Shavuos, because B'chukosai has the 49 klalos. We get it out of the way, and through the 49 days of Sfira, we overcome the 49 powers of Tumah, hoping that on the 50th day that we be zoicha to the birth of David HaMelech. So really counting Sfira is sort of an exercise in being Metzapa LeYeshua, in awaiting the birth of David. And that's one of the reasons why we lay in Rus on Shavuos. Rus, of course, speaks about the birth of David HaMelech, the Yishai Hoilet as David. So today I want to focus on the story according to the Malbim. The Malbim always has a very innovative and revolutionary way to read Psukim. It's well known that the Malbim was one of the all-time greatest Gedolei Yisrael. Even the Briskers say that there are three Achronim that have a Koyach of a Rishon. Of course, they say Reb Chaim Brisker. And the Gra, and they say the Malbim. In fact, the Chavetz Chaim, in his Hakdama to Taras Koyanim, Chavetz Chaim says that we no longer have an insight into how Chazal make drashos. That Chazal have a very, very complex and sophisticated formula how to make a drasha. Only a Gadol B'Yisrael like the Malbim understands how drashas work. So to the Chavetz Chaim, the Malbim was like a paragon of a Gadol that we can't even comprehend his greatness. In fact, there's one particular pasuk in Tanakh that no Rishonim were able to explain. Only the Malbim was able to explain, and the Beis Halevi says that the Malbim was able to explain it, Baruch HaKodesh. Okay, so we begin, the story begins with Elimelech, was a very prestigious man, and he leaves Eretz Yisrael, and that's part of his downfall, because halacha is one is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. If one lives in Eretz Yisrael, you're only allowed to leave to get married, to learn Torah, for Parnassah. And Elimelech leaves with his children, and he dies, and his two sons. And the question is, so why did he leave? If he's the Gadol Hadar, nobody else left, why did Elimelech leave? He's the Gadol Hadar, so why is he going? So the Malbim therefore says that the opening words of the Megillah really give us insight into what Elimelech was doing. So the Megillah begins, Vayehi bimei shefoit hashoifetim. It was in the days of the judges. Okay? What do we know about the judges? We know about the judges. It says in the last pasuk of Shoftim, Bayomim Ahim, in number 2, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. There's no king. Ish Hayosher Bein Oviasa. Right? It's like, let's say you have, if you don't have a leader, there's anarchy. You know, you always need a king. You always need somebody in charge. When there's a place where nobody's in charge, who's the rabbi? No, we don't have a rabbi. So you know Vos Titzach over there, right? You need somebody. There was no Melech. There's no Melech. It's Ish HaYosher Bein Avtasa. Oh, Ish HaYosher Bein Avtasa. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKoyanim Oimer. Always daven for the welfare of the government. Because if you don't have government, you don't have authority, Ish Yisrael Chaim B'Loi. One man's going to swallow the other guy alive. There's complete anarchy. There's complete chaos when there's no leadership. So just imagine back in the day, now the Malbim points out, not only was there no Melech, there was no Shoifet. It was in between Shoiftim, and there were a number of Shoiftim in Klal Yisrael. So also, when you have a lot of people in charge, nobody's in charge. That's the key. The key is you have to have a leader. And there could be one leader. When you have many leaders, things don't work. And it was in between Shoiftim. And, to add insult to injury, Elimelech's a very wealthy man. So imagine what happens when there's anarchy, there's chaos, there's no Melech, you have a lot of money, and there's a famine, there's natural disaster. What do you have? You have Hurricane Katrina. You know what happened in New Orleans? What happened in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina? There was chaos, there was rioting, there was disorder. Law and, so Elimelech, being a wealthy man, is afraid for his life. What's he can imagine? He has money. They're going to be homeless people everywhere. They're going to be aniyim everywhere. There's no recourse to ever get your money back. So Elimelech doesn't have a choice. It's probably pikuach nefashis for him to leave Eretz Yisrael. There are going to be people banging on his door. He's going to say, here's $1, here's $5. No, it's not enough. Look what you have going inside your house. They're going to drive him up the wall. He has no recourse. And he had no choice. So we're sort of, the Navi is justifying why Elimelech thought he needed to leave. Furthermore, so it says he was an ish. Ish means he was a prestigious person. And he didn't go to live in Moav. Lagur. He went to sojourn there, temporarily. He wasn't moving there. He wasn't making Yerida. He was going there temporarily. And he wasn't living in the big city. He was just bistay, Moav, just in the field, sojourning. So the Malbim, so to speak, opens up for us the rationale as to why Elimelech felt it was important to leave. He wasn't leaving to protect his assets. He was leaving to protect his mental health and the viability of his family. Okay, so that's the first insight of the Malbim on Megillas Rus. So of course, Machlein dies, Kilyon dies. Now the truth is, many Mefarshim say that Machlein was married to Arpa, and that Machlein was actually, that Rus was married to Machlein and Kilyon. In other words, Rus was married to Kilyon and she killed him, and Rus was married to Machlein and she killed him. So the time Boaz came around, Rus was already a katlonis. And Boaz said, we paskin only if you kill three men. And Taka, what happened? Boaz lived with her, and that night he perished. So now she's a full-fledged katlonis, you know? It's hard to believe after that she found a shidduch. She was a halachic kalana. She couldn't marry anybody. But Machlein dies, Kilyon dies, and Rus and Arpa are having this conversation with Nami. And Nami says, I know you want to come with me. I advise you to go back to Moav, go back to your family. They were princesses. Go back to your father. Go back to the royalty and prestige of the Malchus. And Rus seems to want to be converting. In fact, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Ches learns that Hilchos Geirus from the conversation that Nami had with Rus. In fact, the Gemara says that from all the words that Rus tells Nami, we could learn how you try to convince a ger not to convert. Because Rus tells Nami, "Vatoim Rus al tifki vi lo zeh lo shomei acharoyich ki el asher telchi eleich." Wherever you go, I'll go. From there, the Gemara derives that you tell a guy about the Tchum Shabbos. So Rus says, I'll keep the Tchum. Wherever you walk, I will walk. And wherever you sleep, I will sleep. I will adhere to the laws of Yichud, Amech, Ami. I'll keep the mitzvah, Yisveloi Hayach, Eloi Hoy. I won't serve idols, Vashar Tamusi Amis. I'm not afraid of Misas Bezdin. And then finally, she says, and now we have probably the most famous words in the whole Megillah, which are the most mistranslated words in Megillas Rus. Ki hamaves yafrid beini uveinich, which is usually translated, right? Until death do us part. You know, I pledge to remain loyal until death do us part. People tend to translate this pasuk that Rus is telling Nami, only death could separate between the two of us. I will remain loyal to you. Nothing could separate me and you. Only death could separate us. But the Malbim has a revolutionary understanding of this pasuk. It doesn't mean that Rus was saying that only death can separate between the two of us. What Rus was telling Nami is, listen to this, that the reason I'm converting, in this phrase, Rus is expressing to Nami the primary reason why she wants to become a Jew. And that is Rus is saying, you know, the truth is, I could be friends with you, I could be attached to you, and I could love you, even if I'm a Moabite and you're a Jewish woman. I'll stay in your house, I'll sleep in your house, I'll take care of you, I'll feed you, I'll clothe you, and we'll be together. But that's not why I want to be a Jew. I don't want to be a Jew for this world, because in this world, we could cling together. The thing is that I know very well that after 120, the soul of a Jewish person goes up to Olam Haba. that we believe this whole world is a temporary world, Olam Hazeh, Doimel, Leproiz, Lefnei, Olam Haba, that the soul of a Yid rises up and goes Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and the soul of the Oivdei Koychavim go to the netherworlds and are lost forever. The reason I want to become a Gioires is Ki HaMoves Yafrid Beini Uveinech, because if I don't convert, death will separate us. And I don't want to be separated for eternity. I want to remain loyal to you for eternity. I want to be together with you in Olam Haba. Not only death will separate between the two of us. Now, if I don't convert, then when one of us dies, we will be eternally separated. I don't want that. I don't want Ki HaMoves Yafrid Beini Uveinech. I want to be able to cling to you, not only in this world, but in Olam Haba. So in this expression, Ki HaMoves Yafrid Beini Uveinech, Rus is explaining and articulating her belief in all the great principles of faith. Obviously, she believes in Hasharas HaNefesh, that the soul lives on. Obviously, she believes in the world to come. She believes in Tchiyas HaMish. She's articulating her belief in the world to come. And she's saying, Ki HaMoves, because death, if I don't convert, Yafrid Beini Uveinech. It's an amazing pshat of the Malbim in Ki HaMoves Yafrid Beini Uveinech.
How did she know all this?
How did Rus know all this? She's living with Nami. You see, back in the day, I'll tell you how. Back in the day, they didn't make the mistake that people make today. People go to their Shabbos table today. Oh, this is a nice parsha sheet. Let's say the parsha. What's the parsha from Divach? Oh, parsha's Bamidbar. What does it say in the parsha? Counting Bnei Yisrael. Okay, very nice. Shir Hamalois Bishuv. Baruch Atah, and that's a regular Shabbos meal. And people make a big mistake. You know what the big mistake is? By every meal, you need to tell your children, this world is a temporary world in preparation for the world to come. It's not just about Parsha sheets. You have to know the principles of faith, that there's a world to come. When was the last time you spoke about the world to come on Shabbos? Huh? What's that? It's the main principle why we live. So Naomi was sitting at the Shabbos table, and like a good Jew, was telling her family, they were talking about the world to come. And what do you think Rus heard? Rus grew up in a house where the world to come was the main topic of conversation. The Shlach Kadosh says...
Why would kids be marrying Rus then?
What?
She wasn't Jewish, so why is the kid marrying Rus? If she's speaking about the world to come, that's
not Rus, Naomi was. Naomi was... That's what the main topic is. By the way, just to tell you, the Shlach HaKadosh says, I can't see you, so I don't have to answer. The Shlach HaKadosh says that what was the primary trademark quality of the Avos, of Moshe, of David? What was their godless? Their godless was that they lived with realization that this world is temporary and was only a preparation for the world to come. If you live with a Nami, of course you know about the world to come. And Rus is saying, I believe in that. From what the way I see you act, from the principles you articulate, I know it's true. Number three.
Kasha is a good kasha. So why didn't Machan Achilyan learn that from the mother?
Yeah,
that's what he's asking.
The answer is another great principle of faith, and that is free choice. And as... Free choice. As compelling and convincing that Naomi sounded, they had very big Yetzaharas. So God gives great people big Yetzaharas. They failed and they died. Okay. That is the second offering of the night of the Pshat in Ki HaMoves Yafrid Beinei Uveinech. Not only death will separate us, but Ki HaMoves Yafrid Beini Uveinech, I don't want death to separate us. Okay, point number three. It's getting better. I mean, even though this vart was unbelievable. Everyone should say this one over at the first night Suda. You have 10 vartlach, there are 6 meals. You could say 1 to 2 by each meal, okay? Okay, we have to... That's a very good answer. Okay, let's see number three. We'll come back to number three. Okay. Then, Ari, you see number 7 on the sheet. Vatoymer Aleyan. She said to them. So she comes back from the fields of Moav, and the people are bewildered. Who's this woman? She looks like Naomi. It looks like her. But Naomi, when she left, she was a very aristocratic woman, a very wealthy woman, and now she comes back. She has no money. She has nothing to her name. And she said, no, don't call me Naomi. Vatoimer Alein, she said to the people, Tikreno li nomi, don't call me nomi. Kireno li mara, call me bitter, embittered. Ki heimar shakai li moed, God has dealt very bitterly with me. Ani maleya halachti, when I left full, wealthy, successful. Verei kam heshivani Hashem. God brought me back empty-handed. Lomo sekreno li nomi. Why call me nomi? Vashem onovi. God has afflicted me. Vashaka heirali. God has dealt evilly or badly with me. So the question on these psukim is very obvious, and that is, she says the same thing twice. In Pasuk Chav, she says, don't call me nomi. In Pasuk Chav Aleph, she says, why do you call me nomi? So we would say, come on, you know, if somebody's arguing with you and they say, no, don't do this. Really, you really shouldn't do this. You're going to ask, why did you say don't? And then why didn't you say shouldn't? I don't know. They're getting emotionally charged. But this is recorded in the Tanakh. This is Ruach HaKodesh. So why record with the Divine Spirit the superfluous phrase? She says, don't call me Nami. And then she says, why do you call me Nami? So the Malbim here enunciates a principle that he enunciates many times in his commentary on Tanakh. And that is, Nami is saying two completely different points. Point number one is, remember Nami, what does Nami mean? Nami means pleasantness. So she's saying, right now don't call me pleasant. My life isn't pleasant. My life is bitter. Call me bitter. And then she's adding another very important akuda. You know what she's saying? She's saying, and even that which you say my name used to be Nami, it's not even true. My name was never Nami. But what do you mean? That's what her name was. She's saying a very important point. There's a principle in Hashgacha that it is possible that God could give somebody happiness, success, and wealth as a punishment to bring about their downfall. So that when they have a downfall and they lose everything and they lose their health, wealth, and success, it's all the more painful. Sometimes success is not an endorsement from heaven. Sometimes it's a warning. Watch out! You don't know what's coming next. Like it says in Eiv, if you rise up to the heavens, you could fall like the dung. Or it says in Ovadia, if you put your nest among the stars, from there He'll bring you down. Sometimes success is God is warning you. Be careful. Get your act together. So usually people take difficulty as a warning. Oh, I'm having difficulty. God's trying to give me a message. God's trying to teach me a message. He's telling me to get my act together. Sometimes success could be so that when the downfall comes, the pain is all the more acute, says the Malbim. And this is a concept he brings many times in Tanakh. Therefore, Naomi is saying another point. That which you say, I used to be Naomi. I used to have pleasantness. Now I realize it was never Naomi. It was always Mara. Now I realize that the prestigious husband I had and the famous children I had and all the money I had was only so that now when I'm bereft of my whole family and all of my assets, it should hurt all the more because I knew what success was. Naomi is saying, not only don't call me Naomi now, now I realize God's intention in giving that to me was a warning from the beginning. It was never really pleasant. It was bitter from the beginning. That's what Naomi was saying. And this is a very important concept in life in general, that a person should never say, well, you know, I'm being very successful. God must be really happy with me. I'm a good boy, you know. Things are going well. Business is going well. Family life is going well. God's smiling on you. He is smiling on you. But always have to be careful. Ashi enosh mefache tamed. You always have to think, you know, what's here today may not be here tomorrow. So Naomi is saying two things. Number one, don't call me Naomi now. Now things are bitter. But even more than that, now I'm realizing that all the success was a warning from the beginning. Okay? That is offering number three. Offering number four. Now I'm going to teach you a very important thing. Ari, you still there? Okay. So, do you ever have a conversation, let's say when you talk to your brother, let's say you're in the middle of talking to him, and you say, Yossi, you know, I came to the shir tonight, and behold, there were a lot of people there. Did you ever use that word, behold? Did you? Just yes or no?
No.
Ari Bodner never used the word behold. No. That's good. It's a very archaic word. It's a very old word. Most people don't use the word behold. Hark? Yeah, so behold, and in the Chumash we have the word vihine, hine, behold. What does behold mean? Like, Behold doesn't mean anything, so don't say it, right? What does Hine mean? What is the connotation of Hine? We know there's not an extra letter in the Chumash, let alone an extra word. The answer is, says the Malbim, Yisoid Gadol, the word Hine always means Davar Chadash, a Chiddush. I'll give you the classic example. Vayihi Baboiker, Vihine Leah. That was a Chiddush, no? He thought he was marrying someone else. Vayihi Baboiker, Vihine Leah. Hine is always a Chiddush without exception. Every time you see the word Hine, you have license to ask, what's the Chiddush? So the question is, Vihine Vayaz. Bam, Yibesach and Boyaz was coming. Vayoim ala koitrim, Hashem yimachem, Vayoim ruloi, Yivarachacha, Hashem. And behold, Boyaz was coming. So the simple pshat here is a very big chiddush. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is, Nami said, go to the fields. I have a relative, try to find his field, and if he sees you, maybe he'll be kind to you. Well, what do you know? She happened to come to Boyaz's field, and he happened to be coming, Vihine Boyaz. There's a deeper pshat. Because the Vihine is mashma, it's going on, Vayoymer la koitzrim Hashem yimachem, that the chiddush is that what he told the koitzrim. What did he tell the koitzrim? Hashem yimachem. That's like a Sfardi Aliyah. Hashem yimachem, Rabotai, right? What's going on? Hashem yimachem. So the Gemara says in Brachos that the Bezdin of Boyaz made a takana. What was the takana? Let's say I greet you. What's the correct way to greet a Jew? Basmachter Ayid, how you doing? What's up? The correct way is Shalom Aleichem. Not only is it correct, it's a takana of the Bezdin of Boyaz. So the Gemara even asks, what do you mean Shalom Aleichem? Are you allowed to say Yud Kei Vav Kei Aleh? Are you allowed to say Echveis, you know, Shakai Aleh? How are you allowed to say the name of God? So you can't say the name of God. You're just saying the name of Hashem in vain. So Gemara says, no, the Sanhedrin got together and they were Mesakin. You're allowed to say Hashem's name when you greet somebody. I remember I have a son, Zolga Zunzain, Meir Shalom. So for his bris, somebody gave him a present, a bath towel with his name on it. The problem was, you know, where exactly are you going to use it, you know? So they actually realized, and they took it back, and they removed the mem from the Shalom, but, you know. So Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, the way it's the name of Hashem, one of the ways is, Reb Shamshin Meyashtapoli says, actually, I got an email from the Shvilei Pinchas this week, and he happened, in his email, he sent me from Rav Shamshin Rashapoli. The truth is, the Malbim says the same thing, Parshas Noach. You take Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you put under it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yud Kei, Yud times Aleph is 10. Hey times Dalet is 20. We're up to 30. Vav times Nun is 300. We're up to 330. And Hey times Yud is 50. We're up to 380. Shalom. Shalom is 380. I is 376 with the four letters of Shalom is 380. So Yud Kei Vav Kei times Aleph Dal Nun Yud is 380. That's one of the ways that Shalom is the name of Hashem.
That's why you answer back. God is going to answer you back. He answers Aleichem Shalom, that in case he dies, he shouldn't utter the name of Hashem.
In vain.
Right,
very good. So the Gemara says that Ezra, that Bayaz Ubezdino is Masakin, you should greet somebody b'shem. Now how are you allowed to say Shalom? I'm talking to Ari Badner, I say Shalom to him. How could I just say Hashem's name to him? The answer is, Boyaz and his Bezdin realized that there were problems back in those times. You know what the problems were? There was no king. And when there's no king, there's anarchy and there's robbery. And people come to Shul and they could shuckle and they could move and they could sway and they could raise their hands and they could move their eyeballs to the back of their head. Very nice. But then as soon as they leave the Shul and they're dealing in Dinei Momonos, you know, it's anarchy. So Boyaz and his Bezdin realize that they need to inject Yiras Shamayim into everyday transactions and interactions. So we're not only holy and from in the shul, but that there's a certain Yiras Shamayim when I greet you on the street. And therefore Boyaz and his Bezdin was Masakein, that when you greet someone, you could say Shalom, to the point where Boyaz said you could even say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vihine Boyaz! There's a Chiddush! Boyaz was coming from Beis Lechem. What was he doing in Beis Lechem? He was coming from being Mesakein. Vayoymer LaKoytzrim Hashem Yimachem. He was coming from that takana that when you greet somebody, you're allowed to use the name of Hashem. That was the Vihine, that was the Chiddush. The Chiddush was, he was just coming from making that takana. It was on that day. It was 5 minutes earlier. Vihine Boyaz. The chiddush is that he said to the koitzrim, Hashem imachem, says the Malbim. Next. When you come to my house, and then, okay, so I'm going to tell you, even though this is a Malbim shir, I'm going to say over Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says like this: we know when you want to be menadi v'karbin, you're supposed to say karbin Lashem, but not Lashem karbin. Why don't you say Lashem karbin? Because the person might expire after he says Hashem's name and never get around to a karbin. So you say karbin Lashem, not Lashem karbin. So the shaila is, how could Boyas say Hashem imachem? L'chayra, the harvesters answered good. Yivarechecha Hashem. But how could Boyas say Hashem imachem? So some surface says like this. Boyas had a new baruch HaKodesh that Malchus Beis David was going to come from him. That's why the Gemara says he measured out to Rus 6 measures. He was being meramis to her, the 6 kings from Malchus Beis David that was going to come out. So he knew he wasn't going anywhere. So he could say, Hashem imachem. He knew he wasn't going to die. The harvesters, they have no guarantees. So the harvesters say, Yivarechecha Hashem. That's a Chassam Sofer. Okay. Marv Rabbeisai. Right, so someone died, that's right. Very good. Okay. So I want to invite you to my house. Rav Sender, we're going to come to my house. This is the first night of Shavuos. We're going to have Kesudas Achashverosh Shloimei HaMelech. We're going to have lamb chops. We're going to have a steak.
I'm coming.
We're going to have everything you'll wine, right? And we're going to have 25 courses with 30 desserts. And it's going to be like, you know. And if you come, I'm going to give you a reward. Say, Rabbi, I don't need no reward. That's the reward, just to come. In fact, the Malbim, Hashem says, learn Torah. Learning Torah is greater, is more simcha. The Archaim HaKadosh says that if somebody would sense the sweetness of Torah, he would become so insanely in pursuit of Torah that nothing in the world, no pleasure in the world would be have any meaning to him. So Hashem says, learn Torah, and if you learn Torah, I'm going to make it rain. Forget the rain! I'm going to learn Torah! You don't have to reward me! Why does Ribbono Shel Olam offer a reward? What's the reward for? The reward is Schar Mitzvah! The reward is I could do the mitzvah. If you have the zechus to do the mitzvah, that itself is the happiness and the well-being and the success and the feeling of contentment. Why is Hashem rewarding? Says the Malbim, a principle that he enunciates in many places. Reward is not the real thing. The main reward for the mitzvah is doing the mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is that you have the privilege. You know, when you do a mitzvah, you bring shleimus to your neshama. I need reward. I'm perfecting my soul for eternity. I need a candy for that. I need rain for that. What do I need reward for? The mitzvah itself is a reward. I have the privilege to serve the King of the universe. Look, what's reward? The answer is reward is just a trick. Because most people don't really feel the happiness of doing mitzvahs. Most people are not really in touch with what the Archaim HaKadosh writes, that if we would detect the sweetness of learning, we would pursue it like we pursue gold. We don't detect it, and we don't experience it. So Hashem, like to a little child, he says, you know what, if you learn Torah, you'll make more money. It's ridiculous. Why should Hashem have to say that? If you learn Torah, you're going to learn Torah. But that's how we are. We're small. And because we're small, Hashem has to give a reward. Says the Malbim, this explains the double lashon that Boaz tells Rus. Boaz says to Rus, you're so loyal to your mother-in-law. You showed such kindness. Yishalem Hashem paleich. Hashem should pay you for your acts. Usehi maskurteich. And your reward should be whole from Hashem that you've come to take refuge under His wings. Says the Malbim. There are 2 rewards for mitzvahs. The ikar reward, the main reward. The main thing Hashem has in mind is the privilege of doing the mitzvah itself. Aber lemaisa, most people are not motivated by that. So for most people, you need to tell them, you want reward? Okay, if you do this mitzvah, you're going to make more money, you're going to have more happiness, you're going to be more successful. But that's not the real reward. That's just a little payback. So Bayas tells Rus, firstly, Yishalim Hashem Palech, God should pay you for your acts. But if you want to know about the main reward, usihi maskurtech shalema, your payment should be whole. You know what the payment is? The payment is that you became a yid. That's the payment. Schar mitzvah. Number 6. This one is gishmak. You're going to be so happy after this one. You're going to say, Rabbi, enough already. That I'm so happy already, but I'm going to give you even more happiness. So Boaz sees this woman, Rus, and he has rachmanis on her. He wants to be mefarnes her bekavod. So he tells his workers, V'gam shoyl tashoylulah min hatzvasim, drop her some shikha. Va'azavtem v'liketav le'sigaruva, and leave it there. Yeah? Forget it and leave it. What do you call that? Redundant. Forget it there and leave it there. If you forget it there, you're obviously leaving it there. Why does she have to say shoyl tashoylu and va'azavtem? Says the Malbim, Ga'oinus. You ready for this Ga'oinus? This is Shikha. Is Shikha Chayiv and Shuma Maisa? If you go, if a person's an Ani, and they go into someone's field, and they pick up Shikha, are they allowed to eat it? Of course. But he wasn't Mafrish Chuma! He wasn't Mafrish Maiser! No. Shikha is Pater from Chuma Maiser. But what about fake Shikha? What if you intentionally leave it there, you put it on the floor, and you didn't really forget it, so it's really yours, it's really not shikha. Then it's chayiv and truma. So what Boaz is doing is, he's being machshil, Rus, and Rus thinks it's shikha, but it's tevel. So how could he tell the workers, leave it there? Leaving it there is not really shikha. If it's not shikha, it's chayiv and truma meiser, so she can't eat it. There's only one thing that's not chayiv and truma meiser. Hefker. So he says, forget it and then abandon it. Be mafker. Once you're mafker, it's part of Shuma Samaisris, and now she could eat it without any problems. That's what? Just be mafker. The thing is, mafker, why would she know that it's hefker? Why would she? In other words, she's coming as an ani. So the pretense is that she feels she's entitled to shikha. But if they're just, let's say they randomly say, this stalk is hefker, how would Rus know it's hefker? So she's going to eat it because she thinks it's shikha, it's forgotten there. She doesn't know that it's fake shikha, which they were mafker. Okay. This is the best one of the night. You ready, Ari? Okay. This is one, everyone's going to get upset, everyone's going to get angry, and maybe in a few years it will sink in. This is very important. So. You know, at a simcha, how should we make the seats? Should we make it family seating? Should we make it separate seating? How, you know, what's the right way to do it? What's the correct way? I don't want to hear chumras. I want to know halacha. So it depends what kind of simcha. But now we're going to learn a hashkafa. What is the outlook of the Torah? What would the Torah like from us? Vatoimer Rus Hamoyavia. Look at number 16. Rus the Moabite. All of a sudden she got smicha. You hear this? Hetzachayin. This Rus lady, who we call her a tzadekes, the whole, and Boaz says you should be rewarded. Yisham Hashem Paleich. All of a sudden we give her smicha. You Moabite. Vatoimer Rus Hamoyavia. You know what Boaz told me? Boaz told me I should hang out. Ki amar alai im hanaorim asher li tibakin. Stay with the young people here. Don't worry, you're welcome here. Stay with the Na'arim. What does Na'arim mean? Youngster. Young lads, young boys. So Naomi tells Rus, her daughter-in-law, Toiv biti, it is good, my daughter, ki seitziyim na'aroisav, that you go out with his young daughters. V'lo yifku bach besada acher. It's interesting, there's a nuance of difference between what Rus said and what Naomi says. Rus says, you know, he told me I should stick around this field among the young people, but the word she used was young boys. And Naomi doesn't give her mussar, she just says, I think that's a good idea, that's to stick around the young girls. What did Boaz actually tell her? If you look about 20 psukim earlier, 10 psukim earlier, in number 17, Vayomer Boaz al Rus, Hello, Ishamat Piti. I'll tell a chil, a koidus of the achyar, the gam, lois avuri, mize, the choisid, bakin, imnaroi, soi. Stay in my field and hang out with the girls. He told her, hang out with the girls. Hang out with the young girls here. But she wasn't medayik. So when she said it over, she said, he told me to hang out with the young people. Because in her mind, who do you hang out with? Whoever. I'm a marriageable age, I'm going to go with the boys. And therefore, because she wasn't medayik in what Boaz said, We call her, we insult her, we say you're a Moabite. You could be a big tzaddikas. Yeah, I learned in yeshiva many years, and I'm a big Ben Torah, and I learn every day, and I send my kids to yeshiva. But you don't appreciate the importance of separating the genders. That's not a Jewish attitude. Sorry, I can only tell you the truth. It is not a Jewish attitude. The Jewish attitude is, honor the Yetzirah, respect the Yetzirah, he's much stronger than you think. Nah, it's a simcha, you know, we're all enjoying. You have to know. You have to ask a shayla.
How she got confused?
Because it takes many, many years for the opinions of the Torah to be appreciated by a Jew. It takes a long time. People don't appreciate it right away. People think it's exaggerated, it's not needed, it's extra, it's too excessive. No, at this point she's still a beginner. And she's very tamimistic. And she's very genuine. You could be very genuine and also very wrong. So Rus was a very holy woman, but at this point, says the Malbim, she's still called a Moabite. Because when Boaz said, hang out with the boys, she should have realized that a girl only hang... When Boaz says hang out with the girls, she should have realized Boaz was Dafka. So you're telling me that, let's say I make a bris, it's better if it's separate than if it's together? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Where does it say that? It says, Psukim in the Navi. Psukim in the Navi. What could I do? I can only tell you what the Torah says. Vayter, number 8. You ready for number 8 or you're done with me? Okay, let's go with number 8.
Yeah.
No. No. It's just number 17.
But remember, it makes sense. I mean, if you tell us to go to the field, who's working in the field? Only men.
Right, that's maybe why she made the mistake. Okay, now, after the Divrei Musa, we're going to go into Kabbalah, so you'll forget, you'll get over that. Okay, you ready? Okay. So Naomi has this great idea. Naomi says, look, you have to marry this guy. He's like a few hundred years old, and you got to marry him. Naomi knew Baruch HaKodesh that this union would produce Malchus Beis David. So she has this einfall. You're going to go midnight into the threshing floor when the Gadol Hador is sleeping. Number 19. And when he's lying down, go to where he's laying. Uvas vigilis margiloisav, uncover him. And when he sees you, he'll let you know what to do. This is a good idea? You hear? This is what it says. He's laying there, he's the Gadol, he's a Tzadik Hadar. Just imagine, you know, a Tzadik Hadar. While he's sleeping, midnight, go, be Megala him, and then he'll see you and he'll let you know what to do. By the way, you know there's a man by the name of David HaMelech? You know what time he woke up every night of the year? No?
Midnight.
Where, how do you know? Tell him, Kuf Yates. Chatzois, Laila, Akum, Lahoidos, Chamesh, Vedezika. And what? David HaMelech awoke at midnight. Why? To thank Hashem. For what? That his great-grandmother survived the night that she had to do this seemingly inexplicable thing. Because, says the Medrash, had Boaz had his druthers about him, he should have cursed her and she would have dropped dead. Right? The Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan would look at somebody bad, the person would disintegrate. So imagine if Boaz looked at her bad, she would like, ke'ilu, she never existed. What's she doing? The Al Shechas, ha'mibli ein shadchanim b'Yisrael. This is how you make a shidduch? Well, so why can't Naomi go to Boaz and say, Boaz, I'm Shul Dekmir, you come to my living room tonight and we'll have a sit-in with Rus and you'll meet each other for 30 seconds and we'll make Al-Chaim. But this is beyond, beyond.
What was Boaz doing there, sleeping himself in a field?
Yeah. Oh, what was Boaz doing in this field? It's a bit Torah, he should be in the base of Medrash.
No.
Stam, what's he doing in the field?
Yeah.
There's an amazing Chsam Sofer, I believe in Masech Tesukah, Daf Lamed Vav. Chassam Sofer says, would you be Matmiya? What was Boaz doing? He was putting on tefillin. What was Boaz doing? He was singing the sukkah. Boaz lives in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to work the land of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Chassam Sofer says. That's why he's in the field, the threshing floor. It's a mitzvah to work the land. Wow. Anyway.
He was protecting the land. There was a lot of thieves at the time.
Anyway, he was, it's Chibuv Haaretz, the Chassam Sofer says. It's in the Chedush Manshas, not a Gata. Okay. Says the Malbim an amazing thing. You remember the old lady who used to live in her? shoe. Yeah, the little old lady who lived in her shoe. Remember her? Besides her, nobody lives in a shoe. People live in a house. What does the shoe do? What does a shoe do? The shoe houses the lowest part of a human body. So the shoe doesn't house the whole body. The shoe only houses the lowest part of the body. The shoe to the body is a mashal. The body to the soul. The soul is really mostly in Shemaim. Our soul, when we're alive. We say, V'al nishma yisenu ha-pekudos lach at all times. And the soul trickles down, 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 through the olamos, into the body. In the body is the lowest, lowest part of the soul. So the body to the soul is like a shoe to the body. When a person dies without children, that neshama is now shoeless. He has no body. And he has no children. So he has no respite. So when that person dies without children, so the soul is in flux. And he needs his living brother to marry his wife. They'll produce a child. That child will now be the body for his soul that's in flux. If the brother doesn't want to marry the deceased wife, we take off his shoe. We do chalitza indicating, you don't want to be a shoe for your brother. Shoeless brother, not shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoeless yavam. You never heard that? Shoeless yavam. A yavam is somebody without a shoe, meaning he has no body for his soul of the deceased. The deceased brother is in flux. He needs the shoe. He needs his wife to marry the living brother to produce a son. That son will be the shoe for his soul. Naomi wanted Boaz to marry Ruth because this is part of the mitzvah of Yibam. Because Machloin was not the brother of Boaz, but was a relative of Boaz. By Boaz marrying Ruth, the child would be Machloin. Machloin's soul, who never had a child, would go into that son. That's why when the child was born, what did they say? Yulad ben Lenami. Naomi had a son. Naomi didn't have a son, she had a grandson. No, Machloin came back to the world. Machloin has a shoe. Who's the shoe? The son of Boaz. Oyved is the shoe. Naomi tells Ruth, it's not nice to go to Boaz and say, be miyabim me. We need to be merames to him to be miyabim you. So you're going to uncover his legs, meaning you want to be a shoe or you don't want to be a shoe. That was the deeper meaning in what Rus was doing. You want to be a shoe for Machlein, or you don't want to be a shoe for Machlein. You want to give a makoim for Machlein's soul and flux to have something to go into. You want to give him a guf, or you don't want to give him a guf. That's the Malbim Shad in what Naomi's advice to Rus was. That was number 8. Number 9, look at number 9. We're almost there. So very good, even though, you're right, Yibam was only by brothers, but the Ramban says in Parshas Vayeshev that the ancient practice was to be miyabim all relatives. The Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev. For example, Yehuda was miyabim Tamar. Okay? Okay, number 9. Number 9. Number 9, number 21. So Boaz tells Ruth, so he wakes up in the morning, he's Nizgala, and he says, look, I'm going to do it, but I have a closer redeemer, I'm going to give him first dibs. If he doesn't want to do it, I'm going to do it. In the meantime, you need to eat breakfast. Vayomer havi hamid palas yashalach. Give me your scarf, grab a hold of it. Vayomod sheish se'orim. Vayomod sheish se'orim, vayosh se'oleha. He measured out 6 barleys, and he put it on her. And she came to her mother-in-law, and she said, who are you? Because it was still dark outside. And she said, you wouldn't believe what this man did. And she said, these 6 barleys he gave me, because he said, don't come home empty-handed. Naomi says, don't worry. Until, meaning stay right here, you're going to find out very quick what's going to happen. Ki lo yishkoit ha'ish ki imkila hadavar ha'yoyim. The matter will not be settled unless... The man will not rest until he settles the matter today. The matter will not rest until he settles the matter today. In other words, Naomi was confident that Boaz would not procrastinate, he would not delay, he would not tarry, he would settle things today. How did Naomi know that Boaz would settle today? Maybe Chveis, maybe he would have to deliberate over it for a few weeks, maybe he would discuss it, maybe he would have deliberations in the court. How did Naomi know that Boaz would settle the matter today? it sounds like it's connected to the fact that he measured out six barleys. So the Malbim says, Mamish Goinus. Six barleys. What are these six barleys? The Malbim says throughout Tanakh, they always broke up measurements into six. In fact, the measurement was called Sheish. In his opinion, the Sheish here is a reference to a Kav. Because a Kav is 1/6 of a Sa. Now the Gemara says that an Ani that travels from one place to another and you need to give him a meal, you have to make sure to give him a half a Kav for a meal. So how much is he giving? A Sheish, which is one Kav. So how many breakfasts is that? Two breakfasts. One for Nami, one for Rus. But what are they going to eat for lunch? And what are they going to eat for supper? And what are they going to eat for breakfast the next day? Oh, Nami said, he just measured out a Kav. Breakfast for me and breakfast for you. That's because he knows that he's going to give you dinner. He's coming back to you by dinner. By the time dinner's coming around, he's going to have an answer for you, Adar Ya Adar Nisht. Because the fact that he gave you exactly enough tzedakah just for the morning, half a meal, half a kav for me, which is breakfast, half a kav for you, sheish, which is a kav, which is a sixth of a sa, that's clear. Kila yishkoit ha'ish, ki yim kila hadavar hayom. That is number 9. And finally, number 10, the kid was born. And they said, oh, what a sweet yingala. V'haya alecha l'meshiv nefesh. They say, Tanami, it will restore your soul. Ulechal ke'el esei vaseich. He will support you in your old age. Ki chalosech asher ahe vaseich yiladatu asher hi toivalach mishiva banim. Fine, they told Nami, the kid will restore your soul. So the first thing is, how will this kid restore Nami's soul? It's not Nami's child, it's Nami's grandchild. And then Nami takes the child, and she nurses the child. Can you imagine? You think any mother would be happy if her mother-in-law did that? I don't think so. I don't know. You know, I don't think there are too many women that they want their mother-in-law too involved in anything, let alone being the nursemaid of their child, yeah? Nami takes the kid, nurses the kid, and then the neighbors say, Yulad Bein Lenami! Yulad Bein Lenami. Nami's kid? It's not Nami's kid. So the Malbim says, no, this is all the secret of Yibam. That one, when Bayaz was Meyabim, Rus, and they produced a child, Oyved. Oyved is who? Machloin. And therefore they said, this child will restore your soul because you were in turmoil. Your soul was in flux because you lost your child. But now Machloin has returned. And therefore they said, Yulad Bein Lenami. That is offering number 10. Let's just end. The Rashi Tevois. Yulad.
They named, what is this business that they named the baby?
So Reb Sender is asking, since whenever, you know, I went to a lot of Brisson. Want to be mechabed, the neighbor with Kriyas Hashem. All of a sudden, who's naming the baby? The neighbors. There's a very big Kabbalistic secret, but I'm going to save it for Shavuos, I'm going to tell you privately. I should say now?
Yes.
Please. Everybody.
All right, we'll have to come up with something else on Shavuos. I'll tell you an unbelievable thing. This Rus, what is she doing to Bayaz? What is it reminiscent of? It's reminiscent of, I'll give you a little secret, Nami tells Rus, come to her vatavoy balat. Go stealthily. It's reminiscent of what the oldest daughter of Light did to Light. Now the oldest daughter of Light, even though she did it l'shem shamayim, to propagate the world. The Al-Sheikh learns, and Al-Sheikh says that Rus was the Gilgal of the oldest daughter of Light. The oldest daughter of Light propagated the world. She was zoicha to have mayav, and Rus is coming to seal the deal to bring Mashiach to the world. And Rus needs to tell this to Bayaz. Now, the oldest daughter of Light was a big tzadekas, but she did one thing wrong. The name she gave was a little bit crude. Moyav, coming from the father, wasn't proper. Amoin was a nicer name, Ami, but Moyav was very crass. It was very crude. Are you going to say? You're going to say with your mouth that the child is born from your own father? So therefore, says the Chidah in a very rare volume that's not available. In the Sefer Simchas HaRegel, my grandfather brought it over from Europe. That since Rus was the Gilgal, the oldest daughter of Light, who made a mistake and said the name Mayav as a Tigun, this time Rus says, I'm not even giving a name. You name her. That's what the oldest one. Anyway, the the Rosh Yateves, Yulad Bein Lenami is Rosh Yateves Yoivel, because as we know, the Koyach of David was Yoivel, which is Veshavtem Ish Elachuzasoi. And of course, Nami is Rosh Yateves, Mekabetz, Nidche, Amoy, Yisrael, we should talk about Zoicha, to the Leda of David HaMelech on Shavuos, we should be Zoicha, Ben David, Yavai, Vigalenu, Mherv, Yamino, Amen, Achak, Hoshav, Sameach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.